Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another C3 Church Global podcast. It's great to have you with us. And this week, we're talking all things discipleship with Pastor Mark Kelsey. Great to have you with us, Mark.
Pleasure to be here. Fantastic.
And with Jake Sweetman, who is the pastor with his wife, Nicole. And they have two kids, Winston and Mabel. They pastor C3LA and have been doing so since 2015. That's 6 years. Doing an amazing job. It's such an on-fire church. Great to have you with us, Jake.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, Jake is one of our great teaching, preaching, leading, thinking pastors. And I always find it stimulating when I talk to Jake, don't you, Mark?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, totally. I love his preaching slash teaching slash deep delivery.
Apologies.
Oh, my gosh. Apologetic. It's so phenomenal.
Yeah. So, guys, this around this time, I'm launching a new book called Disciple. I felt the need to get it done at this time of COVID lockdowns because so many people dislocated from the church found that the rhythms of their Christianity became a real mess and picked up some old habits, surfaced a lot of cracks in relationships, and found themselves some just falling out of the following Jesus. And I found that the need to make a rugged, ruthless decision to follow Jesus Christ became really important. And then as I was exploring that thought, I realized that really everything we're known for, from faith, leadership, church planning, arts, et cetera, all have their basis on the fact that primarily I decided to follow Jesus. And I imagine that's the same for you, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think following Jesus is the only basis for not only discipleship, but just life in general. To be fruitful and effective and successful, it has to begin with who's leading you. And Jesus is absolutely the best leader, bar none.
Yeah, my argument in the book, I guess, is to move from being a saved person to being a follower of Jesus, a disciple. And once you're a disciple, you need a lot less saving. And so it's like getting beyond the cross, although we don't ever get beyond the cross. But I mean, you can't stay just at the cross getting saved and healed and it's all about me all the time. I got to get beyond that where now, rather than him giving his life for me, I'm giving my life for him. And certainly Mark Kelsey and his wife have lived that out, planting a church in New York so many years ago and now serving the Lord still with us as part of the team, pretty much our whole, the life of this church, Mark.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and I think—
Just a few years.
Yeah, just a couple, you know. And that's, I think sometimes, because we've been in it for so long, you can take for granted what has been normal to us. But as we look back on it, it's obvious to us that it has been a culture of discipleship right from the very beginning, which is, I think, is awesome.
Yeah.
And that concept of like, yeah, you don't just stay, you don't just get saved, but from that point on, it's a life of spiritual formation that doesn't end. It keeps going and pushing into those, you know, 2 Corinthians 3, the levels of glory, levels of you know, contemplation of Christ and growing in that is a big deal, you know. So, yeah, that's been our life, hopefully.
Well, I would say beyond hopefully it absolutely is, because I am the product of that that life. And so I'm, I guess you would say, second or third generation C3, and I'm following Jesus because I've been discipled well, and that's trickled down from y'all's leadership. So I would say that to date, we've been quite fruitful. And I think that speaks, discipleship is very generational. And we are called as Christians to be generationally minded and to think beyond even just the immediate impact that we ourselves will have. it's been said 100 times before, but the only way the Great Commission gets fulfilled is through disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so I'm very happy and grateful to be living in the slipstream of that and hope to be able to continue that great legacy.
Yeah, well, you certainly are doing that. And, you know, we had a meeting just before this podcast, actually, a global meeting where we literally identified who we see would be our replacement. And or the person who would, you know, take over from us. And so therefore you become intentional about creating that pathway for those people. Great. And so everybody is, it's not a surprise, it's a process that we are committed to. How would you define a disciple, Jake?
Well, I think in a word, I think it's being a student, a lifelong learner of Jesus. I like that definition. I think a popular term nowadays is to use the term apprentice. I think John Mark Comer has popularized that term. I like that term a lot. We've adopted that in some senses here at C3LA because I think it helps people, because disciple, the word disciple can be a bit ambiguous to people. Terms like student or apprentice can be quite helpful because people understand what those words mean automatically. And I think it helps drive the outcome that you desire when you're talking about discipleship. Because when you're talking about discipleship and you want discipleship happening in your church, a leader usually means something very specific when they say that, right? Like they don't just want like a general culture of discipleship. They want to achieve an outcome, which is, and I think you even posted this earlier about your book, that the fruit of discipleship is leaders, not followers.
Yeah.
And that's usually the outcome that's desired. And so I like terms like student and apprenticeship, because in those terms is baked in the idea that the person being discipled is going to do the same kinds of things that the person who is discipling them is doing. And I think that's really key. I read a book, earlier this year, called Exponential, that talked about the subject of apprenticeship, and it pulled from Mark chapter 3. When Jesus calls the apostles to himself, and drew out a few really, I think, key points from that passage about how Jesus called the apostles, the disciples to himself, and he labeled them apostles, which means that in their title, he told them what was going to happen, in that he was going to send them, what are they going to be doing? And it says that the reason he called them to him is so that he could be with them. We could spend time together, and so that they could go out and preach the kingdom and drive out demons. In other words, so that they could do what Jesus does. And so when I think of discipleship, that's what I think about, is just learning to do what the person who's discipling you is doing so that multiplication can happen.
Exactly. I think the idea of taking his yoke upon you and learn from me.
Mm.
And I think a lot of preaching goes like, come to Jesus, you'll get peace and you get rest for your life. Well, that's not actually true. It says, take my yoke on you and you'll find rest for your souls. And so I think you got to actually commit to having your neck in the same yoke as the elder oxen and learn from him.
That's great.
And then you get to learn a rhythm of life that's restful. You'll be working.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're lazing on the couch watching TV. It's like you'll be doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you're restfully doing life and not stressfully doing life. And I think that's, you know, being a learner, Mark Kelsey's a lifelong learner. And we're always looking to try and be relevant and contextual. Whatever we do, that means we've got to be aware of what an emerging generation is doing. And so discipleship means a lot to these new guys, right?
Oh, big time, big time. I remember early days, years ago, reading that scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. And it's this weird sort of dichotomy between us following a leader who is inspiring us and but them following Christ, you know. So we become the disciples of Christ, but through relationship with people that are ahead of us, which is an amazing thing. Yeah. And I think when I think of a disciple, I think of someone who's probably three quick things. One is willing to go on that journey of spiritual formation. And that's, I think, unforming previous worldly patterns that we've, you know, embraced, and then going on that journey. So they're continually growing in Christ. It's not ending. Secondly, that they're willing to be part of the community, because it has to be contextualized. This isn't a bunch of individuals. We do this together, and it's willing to stay in that community long enough so that we become that remaining crew. But thirdly, and I think Pastor Phil, you've done this incredibly so well, is that it's about context of purpose as well. So it's about working together. It's doing something. It's joining in a vision together. It's not in the absence of purpose. I remember early days here, Pastor Phil, without really knowing us at all that well, and I don't know, probably taking huge risk on us, got us doing stuff, you know, even before we were that qualified. And I think you learn as you go. And I think back to your point, Jacob, being apprentices, Pastor Phil's done that extremely well. You know, whether it's leading a Connect group or running a meeting or what have you, and learning as you go, and you know, failing forward a little bit, probably failing more than succeeding, but certainly growing in that process.
Yeah, I think Jesus builds the plane while we fly, right? And taking the risk is important, Jake, right?
Well, I think that, yes. One of the things that I think of when I think of discipleship as it's associated with C3, as I do think of things like risk-taking, I like the analogy of building a plane while you fly. But I think a lot of times what happens is we can get kind of stopped short in our discipling because maybe we get too stuck in rigid structures and like areas of responsibility. But I like the examples that you're using in terms of like, oh, hey, man, you're gonna run the meeting this week, or I'm gonna get you to come up and teach people about giving this Sunday. Whatever the thing is, I think those little like seemingly random examples are actually really, really great discipling opportunities. And I think looking for those kinds of opportunities as a leader when you're discipling people becomes really key, because that just provides such great opportunity to help people grow and to have teaching conversations. And I think those are the stories that I grew up hearing about C3. Like my dad always used to talk about, like, any given Sunday, you always had to have an offering message and a communion message ready, because you never knew if Pastor Phil during like the last worship song was just going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, get up there and do this. And that kind of stuff, I think, formed an entire generation of leaders in C3. And that's an area that I think my generation has maybe gotten away from a little bit, you know, kind of in our desire to polish things. But I think that's a disservice. And embracing those kinds of teaching moments. And we see those moments in the life of Jesus. It doesn't seem to me like every last moment was meticulously planned out. I think he was pouncing on opportunities, if you will.
Yeah, I think you've got to keep the Holy Spirit in the whole discipling process. I talk about that in the book, and I think that it's the Galatian problem. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect through a run sheet? And having begun in prayer meetings, are you now made perfect by board meetings?
Yeah.
And
there you go.
You know, it's like we inevitably always move towards organizing what was once spontaneous. And it's the pain of the team. The senior minister's random spontaneity is the pain of the team. But a good team, an agile team, can respond quickly to those things and be prophetic. You know, it's the prophetic nature of Spirit-filled leadership actually disciples people to be kind of windy, to move with the wind, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because obeying him is where the power is. And I think that, you know, I'm just moving on to another area. I think we can make ourselves disciples of certain individuals rather than waiting for them to say, hey, I want to disciple you. Or actually, even in an unattached way, I've known people have come to me and say, you don't know it, but you've discipled me. And I think all of us need to actually make ourselves disciples if we are going to disciple others. And I know I've selected certain individuals over my life who for a time, they discipled me and they didn't even know it because I was reading their books, listening to their messages and observing them and being in their conferences and what have you, and allowing their leadership and example to influence me. So in terms of being a disciple, how have you found that, Jake?
I would say I've found it a lot like what you're describing. For me personally, I would say there got a point in our leadership journey, maybe 3 years in to leading a church, where it became very evident to me that my diet needed to shift from majority inspiration into deeper things. And so I think early on, I was attracted to inspiring communication because I was intent on developing a gift. And then you recognize pretty quickly that you need more than inspiration. You need to actually learn. And inspiration is a great framework for learning, but it's not to be conflated, I think, with learning.
Right.
And so that's something that I took upon myself in the last couple of years, is just to immerse myself, I guess for lack of a better word, in knowledge. I just have such a hunger to know. And that has helped me to grow as a leader. It's helped me to ask good questions of myself in terms of the kind of leader I want to be, the kind of church I want to build, and get settled, you know, with issues in identity and those kinds of things. And so I agree with you. I think making yourself a disciple of somebody that you think is doing a brilliant job of following Jesus is a really important step. And then the other thing I would say in terms of more personal relationship when it comes to discipleship is, I think, being okay with, maybe at least this is the season I'm in, I could be wrong about this, but I think for me, what I'm finding is that I'm not getting everything from one person. I find that I've got a handful of people that I go to for just different areas of life. And that's been helpful for me. It helps me not to put unrealistic expectations on people.
Yeah.
When it comes to what they actually have the time and the capacity to provide for me. Those are...
I think a mentor is for, not for life often, but for a particular season.
Yeah.
And in a particular area. Like, I'm learning about... I've written 22 books already, but I'm just relearning and learning new ways of writing and learning a whole world of writing from reading books and letting them disciple me in that area. I think you are a really important voice in today's world, Jake, because of what I know you've gone through in your family and experienced, you know, some real, not your own immediate family, but in your parentage and your legacy, you face some really challenging moments in that. Plus, you have held your faith together while there's a bunch of people popularizing deconstruction and trying to, you know, celebrate the idea of dismantling faith. Mm-hmm. And I think someone like yourself is a real stake in the ground. I mean, we understand what the dilemmas people do face, but it's not cause enough to walk away from the Lord. And to watch you hold steady, not only hold steady, but expand the kingdom and continue preaching strongly. I mean, honestly, we're so proud of you. And I just want to say I think that's worth getting into your disciples there, the people who are following your example there in Los Angeles.
Thanks so much for that. Yeah.
I think if on that point too, I think you've done a great job at the same time as Pastor Phil just described, but not running away from the issues that some of the people are using to deconstruct their faith. So you're brave enough, courageous enough, with wisdom and faith to look right into the abyss, if you like, of those really tough current issues, whether it's ideological or spiritual or political or whatever, and look at them and help people, particularly of a younger generation, to understand those things, but through the framework of biblical theology and the gospel. So I think you've done a brilliant job at that, and your team too, by the way, which you've led.
Thank you. Yeah, I really think that that is, if we're talking about discipleship, that is the stuff, you know? It's like you can give people handles for discipleship, but like the suitcase is the issues. Right. So like what's in the suitcase? Like we should probably talk about all of these ideologies that are driving the way of the world. And if you don't, we launched a program this year that we called the C3 LA Apprenticeship. And we have, I think like 15 people in it, and it's basically discipleship, dialed up. And I have their reading list is massive. And I have them reading all these books that they would otherwise never read. And every single week they're expected to come having read a big section of it. And we just talk about it. And we talk about everything from gender and sexuality to, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, woke culture to, Marxist thought. I mean, we talk about everything. It's just so necessary because these are the ideas and ideologies that are the substratum of the way a lot of people think. And oftentimes we'll buy into the fruit of those ideas, not knowing the root of them. And so I want to help people understand the plate that prints the counterfeit bills, because you get tired of talking about all the counterfeit bills. If you can help people just know what the plate looks like, then they'll be able to recognize a counterfeit bill that it prints. So that stuff to me is discipleship.
Exactly.
And I don't think we can get away from that. And I almost think at this point it's irresponsible, especially in urban contexts, for church leaders to avoid talking about those things. Because people are talking about them.
Yeah. And I do think that there's got to be an experience as well. Discipleship was born out of an encounter. Jesus discipled people who met him, and they didn't meet him as a theory or as a book or as or an argument or a concept or a philosophy. He was they met him. And the thing that the Bible can't get conveyed out of the pages of Scripture is the feeling that those disciples had when they met him. And there, you feel something whenever you meet somebody. Sometimes it's a big feeling, sometimes it's a faint feeling, but you always feel something. Well, imagine not just meeting him, but being around him all the time. And they wept, they grieved when he was going away, when he wasn't there. He impacted their lives completely until the day they died. And they died for him, all of those disciples. They didn't die for any other reason. It was for him because they'd met him. And I think if we can lead people into a actual encounter with Jesus, no matter what theory or thinking comes their way, they can refer back to that. And I know I do. If I'm in tough times, there's no way I could deny God. I know what happened. I've met him. I know him. It'd be like people saying to me, you haven't got a father. Well, I don't know my dad. You know, I knew him anyway when he's alive. And so it that knowledge, that living knowledge of Christ is an unmistakable encounter that I think a life of a disciple is embedded in. And I think as disciple makers, we have really got to lead people into those encounters, whether it's an altar call at church or an encounter in worship that is alive, not just a hypey meeting, but it has actually got God in there in the prayer meetings, and leading people in their personal life to actually walk with Jesus.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And in fact, it's interesting to me that those kinds of things don't typically follow the deconstructors. You don't usually hear of deconstruction and encounter in the same breath. And I think you're spot on. And I feel even more of a burden to have a supernatural church than I do to have a smart church. And I think it's very, very important. And so we're, I would say we're constantly trying to live in that. It's not even attention, but just making sure that we're thinking through both of those things.
The church drifts so easily away from that. And that's the Galatian problem, Mark, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You know,
And I totally agree. And I think that encounter thing is so important. I think particularly that core revelation of sonship or daughtership, you know, like it's like the defining difference between of discipleship between Christianity per se and actually knowing that you're son or daughter of God, that revelation is so core. So like you can never deny, like you said, that your father is the father. It's like when people don't have that, so it's almost like this generic faith as opposed to we're truly adopted into that family. That's rare. And I think this is, I'm seeing a lot more too. I'm sure you're seeing this, Jake, a fresh hunger for the presence of God again. And even Mark Sayers, thing of the presence of God, and he talks about a whole bunch of things around this reaction to this new thinking, but his drive and passion and representation of that new generation of we need the presence of God. We need to keep having fresh encounters with that, because I think that keeps us centered away from the dynamics of discipleship to that spiritual encounter, which keeps us alive, keeps the spirit alive.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that the whole discipleship concept for me is exciting and colorful and bright because of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in amongst it all. Some traditional views of discipleship are like porridge. They're just, it's boring, hard, difficult.
Classroom.
It's like, it's not something, it's not a lifestyle that I see in the New Testament.
Yes.
And I think the color and the joy and the brilliance of being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ, needs to be recaptured and not colored into a dull gray by religious tradition.
Yeah, I think it was Mark Sayers that talked about where we're at in history right now in post-Christianity is not too dissimilar from where the earliest disciples were at in pre-Christianity. How both scenarios require the same approach, you know? And certainly the approach of the earliest Christians was to invite people into a life-giving encounter with the Lord Jesus. And I think that's where we need to be. When I read about church gatherings in 1 Corinthians 14, they sound a whole lot more exciting and colorful than our gatherings often do today. Like this guy's coming with a tongue and that one's coming with an interpretation and these three are going to prophesy and work for them. And I want to see, you know, some version of that come alive for us. And I agree that the people's hunger is there. It's not where it needs to be yet, though, I would say. I see a really crucial aspect of what we're doing right now is teaching people to be more hungry.
Good.
And so we have three things that I want to focus on next year. One is evangelism, one is discipleship, and one is practicing the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be very intentional and strategic in terms of growing people's hunger for encountering the Holy Spirit.
Oh, hunger and thirst are a precursor to that outpouring. And let's get the outpouring without trying to create too many riverbanks. I think once we've got a river, then let's create riverbanks. But riverbanks don't create rivers. And no matter how much our marketing, how slick our marketing is and how flash our registration process and onboarding processes are, if we haven't got a move, you know, a move of the Spirit, and that's the environment in which discipling is best couched.
And launched as well.
Yes.
And that's probably a really key thing, I think, is the river's going to run when more vessels are pouring out.
Yes.
And so I think what I see, and I might be wrong about this, but I see a growing place for some degree of team ministry, you know, happening on Sundays or in other contexts, but getting more people trained in the gifts of the Spirit and just praying bold prayers for people at the altar. That's where we're at. We're not trying to force anything. I don't feel like I can make anything happen. I can't make God move, but we can at least be really diligent about each Sunday coming with an expectation and actually creating the space for God to move.
Yeah.
And all I need is, I just need one breakout miracle. I need one Sunday for God to do something absolutely exceptional. And I think from there, some cool stuff can start to happen.
I have no doubt it's going to happen too. Mark, closing thoughts? Our 30 minutes is up.
I mean, I think I really liked your point earlier, Jake, just in terms of that getting people's, the learning process as disciples. I spoke to a young gentleman who just joined our church last year and came from a particular background church-wise that had sort of extreme thinking out to one side. And I said, look, I didn't try to convince him or shift his thinking. I said, just read this. And so he went away and read it and absorbed it in his own time. And it radically re-centered him back to gospel and back to New Testament and the right thinking. And from that platform, we were able to have a really good conversation, and so it radically changed his thinking. I think part of our challenge right now is extreme thinking, either end of whatever spectrum we're talking about, you know, spiritual.
All the spectrum.
Political, et cetera, all the above. And none of it's helping. And so the presence of God, I think, lives in that river of the gospel and of what God has given us. So I think helping young disciples really have good knowledge, but knowledge isn't the answer, but have the right sort of knowledge, because they become the tools to think clearly on. So I just, hey, read good stuff, read good authors, and read the scriptures a lot and reread them and get your thinking right, and then live that out in a really healthy community where the presence of God is practiced. You do that and do it for the rest of your life, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
And it's not one magic formula. It's doing that long enough in those contexts and then be available. Be a disciple that's available to love people and serve the community. And, you know, we'll make mistakes on the way, but hopefully we can make a difference. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mark Kelsey would be one of the great disciples in our church and in our movement. And you know, a true disciple of Christ can be totally relied upon, and that's been the beauty of first being disciples of Christ before we are professional ministers and before we are church workers or pieces in an organization. Our first commitment is to be a disciple of Christ. Therefore, all of us on our team have done every job in church, from children's work to administrators to, you know, janitors, everything. We've done the whole lot, all of us, because our first calling is actually to be a follower, to be a disciple of Jesus.
That's right.
Jake, any final thoughts from your pastor?
I suppose just one closing thought would be that in this current moment in culture, I think it's really important that we're not discipling people towards a cloistered life. I find that to be a temptation right now, is just to teach people how to like be really good undercover faithful Christians. Because culture can be quite intimidating. And I just was reminded as I was listening to you speak, Pastor Mark, and your comments as well, Pastor Phil, that a fruitful Christian is one who is influencing their surroundings. And I think we should still be discipling people towards influencing their surroundings, not just their surroundings in church, but their surroundings beyond the church as well. And when I read church history, that seems to be the habit of the church, even in, you know, the persecuted era. Well, not that persecution's not still happening, but during the first couple of centuries, even though it was very difficult, they were still very intent on influencing society. And I think that's a really good health benchmark for a disciple.
It's interesting, isn't it, right now? I personally think that the COVID experience, one of the benefits that has taught us is that it's launched us back into community. We've been forced in a weird way to stay at home, and therefore local connections and seeing people locally has been, I think, one of the positive outcomes at least. Mm. And so, you know, I 100% agree.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Just reminding everybody that the book Disciple is available at philpringle.com or on Amazon. And
cannot wait to read it.
Big amen to that.
Yes, I was thinking preaching.
Thanks, Jake. God bless you.
Love you all.
Love you, Jake.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.